بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. The topic now is concerning the invalidators of fasting. Invalidators of fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah in chapter 2, verse 187, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ أسود من الفجر ثم أتم الصيام إلى الليل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse, it's made lawful for you to have sexual relations with your wives on the night of fasting. Now have sexual relations with them and seek that which Allah has ordained for you, offspring, and eat and drink until the white thread, meaning the light of dawn, appears to you distinct from the black thread, darkness of night. Then complete your sawm, your fast, till the night fall. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this noble verse mentioned the basic invalidators of fasting. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed the rest in his sunnah. And these are the invalidators are as follows. They are seven, and they are as follows. Number one, legal sexual intercourse, which is called in Arabic zina, legal sexual intercourse with the wife. And this is the gravest of them all in terms of the sin. So whenever the fasting person performs this legal sexual, the sexual intercourse with his wife, then his fasting is invalid, whether this fasting is obligatory or voluntary. And if it takes place in the month of Ramadan, during the day of Ramadan, and he is of the category upon whom fasting is obligatory, then he must make up this day together with the stringent atonement, together with the stringent atonement. And the stringent atonement is freeing a slave, if affordable, and if not affordable, then fasting 2 consecutive months without breaking the fast in them, except for a legal excuse, like the days of Eid and the days of Tashriq after Hajj, or to a valid excuse a physical one like illness or travel. And if he or she breaks the fast without having a legal excuse, even for one single day, then it becomes incumbent on the person to resume, to start again, to start the fasting of the 60 days again, in order to fulfill the consecutive condition laid therefore. Now, if the person is unable to fast the 60 consecutive days, if that is unaffordable, then the person must feed 60 poor people, giving them about 510 grams of wheat or about 1 kilogram of food with meat and soup and the like, meaning a complete meal from the average meal that he offers to his family. Yes, for each person, yes. It is reported in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abu Huraira that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, O Messenger of Allah, I am ruined. He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, how have you been ruined? How have you been ruined? He, the person, said, I had an affair with my wife during Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are you capable of freeing a slave? He said, no. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, are you capable of fasting 2 consecutive months? He answered, no. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are you able to feed 60 poor people? Are you able to feed 60 poor people? He said, no, no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sit down. So he sat. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with a large basket full of dates. And he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, use it for sadaqah, use it to give away as a charity. The man replied, there is none in our village poorer than me or than us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed until his molars could be seen, then said, take it to feed your family. Take it to feed your family. This is reported in Sahih Muslim and others with a similar wording. And therefore, as Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said, the Quran proves that intercourse breaks the fast just like food and drink. So, in the case therefore of the person is unable to feed the 60 poor people, and they have to be poor. Then there is nothing upon him after that. But as we discussed earlier last night, if a person commits this, this grave act of having intercourse with the wife during the day of Ramadan, then he incurs sin. He is sinful. And he should refrain from eating the rest of the day. And he should make up this day in addition to the stringy atonement which you have heard. So this is the first invalidator. The second invalidator is the seminal discharge by self-stimulating during fasting. The seminal discharge, which is the self-stimulation during fasting. Because this is done by choice during or due to kissing or touching or masturbation or the like, because this is from lust, this is from lust, which contradicts the essence of fasting, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Hadith al-Qudsi, يَدَعُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He relinquishes and abandons his food and drinks and beverages and his lust for my sake, for Allah's sake. And also the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said, and in man's sexual intercourse with his wife is a sadaqah, is a charity. They, the companions, said, is there a reward for the one who satisfies his sexual passion amongst us? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, tell me, would it not be a sin on him or on his part if he were to devote it to something forbidden? If he were to devote it to something forbidden, wouldn't it be a sin on his part? Similarly, if he were to devote it to something lawful, he should have a reward. He should have a reward. However, kissing and touching without ejaculating does not break the fast. As it came in the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her and her father, where she said that the Prophet ﷺ used to kiss and used to have sexual advances while he was fasting. Of course, these advances are not, don't mean sexual intercourse. ولكنه كان أملككم لإربه. However, he was most able of you to control his desire and his self. And that's why the scholars concluded that anyone who fears for himself to ejaculate during fasting, then it's not allowable for him to make the kisses and these advances and the like, and touches. This is, if it would lead, and he fears ejaculation, or that it may lead him to indulge in the forbidden sexual act itself, because he is unable to control his desires, then in this case, these things which would lead him to that are forbidden in order to protect him and to protect his fast. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ commanded the one who makes wudu, the ritual purification for salah, he commanded him to exaggerate in snuffing the water, but not when he is fasting, lest that water goes into his abdomen or his belly. As to the wet dreams or mere thinking about sex without indulging in it, it does not invalidate the fast, because wet dreams are not by choice. And as to the thinking, then this is forgiven, because the Prophet ﷺ said, إن الله تجاوز عن أمتي ما حدثت به أنفسها ما لم تعمل أو تتكلم. Allah has forgiven my followers the evil thoughts that occur to their minds, as long as such thoughts are not put onto action or uttered. And this is important hadith, so I will give you the reference. It is in volume 7, hadith number 194 in Sahih al-Bukhari. Then the third invalidator is eating and drinking. And it means making the food or beverages reach the abdomen or the stomach by way of the mouth or the nose, irrespective of the type of food or beverage. Snuffing or sniffing the as-sa'ut al-hindi, the Indian cost, Q-U-S-T, through the nose, is considered as eating and drinking, because it has a bulk, a mass, that when it is sniffed through the nose, it reaches the belly or the stomach. However, mere smelling of perfumes, using fragrant oils, and breathing their fragments does not invalidate the fasting However, the person should be careful concerning the powdered perfumes and the wooden ones when they are burnt, such that they don't snuff them through the nose, because they have a mass which can reach the stomach. But if the person forgets and eats and or drinks, then let him complete his fast, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, for it is only Allah who gave him food and drinks. And this is an agreed upon hadith. So if he forgets, or he may eat due to confusion over the time, such that he may think that the time is still night when already the Fajr commenced, then he is not to break his fast is not invalid, but he should refrain immediately. And if he has anything in his, if the person has anything in his mouth, then he should get it out, not swallow it. The third invalidator are the intravenous nutritional injections. Although these are not really food and beverages in reality, but they take the same meaning. However, injections, which are not nutritional in essence, like pain injections and so forth, whether they are given subcutaneously in the muscle or in any place, or even intravenously, they don't invalidate the fast. Even if he or she may, even if the person may feel their warmth in his throat, because these are not considered as food and or drinks or beverages, so they don't take their ruling. The fifth invalidator, and this is the self-induced vomiting. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever vomits, then there is no making up for him, but whoever makes himself vomit, then he must make up. And this is reported by Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, and others, and Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah authenticated it. And the induction of vomiting could be through the squeezing of his belly, this is one form, or exciting his throat in one way or another, or through smelling something that may induce vomiting, or to gaze at something intensely which may cause him to vomit. He gazes at it because he, for one reason or another, he will have a reaction to it, leading to stimulation for his throw-up of vomiting. However, if the vomiting takes place without any cause from him, then it has no harm upon his fasting. And if his stomach agitates on him, then he is not called to prevent the vomiting, because this may hurt him. Rather, he leaves it without attempting to vomit, nor to prevent it, to prevent the vomiting. The sixth invalidator is the actual discharge of natural blood in menses and in postpartum bleeding situations. So whenever this blood is seen, then this invalidates the fasting, whether this takes place in the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, even if it is a moment before sunset. And if the woman feels the signs of such natural matters, however, the blood does not appear except after sunset, a moment after sunset, then in this case her fasting is correct. The seventh invalidator, there is a considerable difference of opinion regarding it, but here it is. Let's put invalidator here between parentheses, please. And this is medical cupping. And it is based upon the hadith, أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم. The one cupping and the one being cupped have broken the fast. This is reported by Ahmad, Abu Dawood, and Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, there is nothing concerning this issue more authentic than this narration. And this is the saying of Imam Ahmad, and most of the scholars of hadith, or the fuqaha of hadith. The other opinion is that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was treated with cupping while he was fasting, and he did not forbid the fasting person from cupping. As to the hadith, the one cupping and one being cupped have broken the fast, some of the scholars say that it was abrogated by the action of the Prophet ﷺ, and some go with the opinion that it is therefore better to avoid the cupping during the month of Ramadan because of the difference concerning this issue. Based on this, the person performing the obligatory fast, if he wants to donate blood, such that the blood given is in good quantity, and it will affect his state of strength, and there is no emergency to demand his blood donation, then it is not permissible for him to donate the blood under these conditions. And if it is an emergency, then he may donate the blood, but break the fast on that day and make it up on another day. Losing blood, on the other hand, from anywhere in the body, even if it is from the nose, the mouth, the gum, or to a wound, and even if it comes out in good amounts, it does not invalidate the fasting. Similarly, giving blood for analysis does not invalidate the fasting. It is forbidden for the fasting person to take any of these invalidators if his fasting is obligated, like the fasting of Ramadan, like the fasting for atonement, like the fasting of vow, unless the person has a valid legal excuse, like traveling or illness. And if anyone takes these invalidators for no valid legal excuse, then it is incumbent upon him to refrain the rest of the day and to make up that day. Otherwise, if he has a valid legal excuse, then suffice for him is to refrain only according to the correct opinion. This is concerning the obligated fasting. However, in the case of voluntary fasting, then it is permissible for him to break the fast, even without a valid legal excuse. However, it is preferable for him to complete it. Now, this brings the conclusion on the invalidators of fasting. There remains a very important matter related to this, as to the conditions which makes these invalidators truly invalidating the fast or other ones. All these invalidators, except for menses and postpartum bleeding, all of them except this, do not cause a breaking of the fast, except when they are taken with knowledge and with remembrance, not forgetfulness, and by choice. Three important conditions that will make the invalidation effective. That the person is knowledgeable about them. If he is ignorant, then there is no breaking of the fast. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Surah Al-Baqarah, in chapter 2, verse 286, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا فَقَالَ اللَّهُ قَدْ فَعَلْتَ Our Lord punish us not if we forget or fall into error. And Allah said, I do. And, or I did. This is the invocation of the companions. And also, in Surah Al-Ahzab 33, verse 5, قال الله تعالى وليس عليكم جناح فيما أخطأتم به ولكن ما تعمدت قلوبكم وكان الله غفورا رحيما. Call them adopted sons by the names of their fathers, that is more just with Allah. But if you know not their father's names, your brothers in faith and your freed slaves, and there is no sin on you, this is the point of evidence, there is no sin on you if you make a mistake therein, except in regard to what your hearts deliberately intend. And Allah is ever forgiving, most merciful. And this applies even if he is ignorant regarding the legal ruling. For example, if he thinks that such and such thing does not invalidate the fast, and therefore he takes it. Or, if he is ignorant regarding the timing condition, like if he thinks that the Fajr, the dawn, did not come up yet, so he eats and drinks, while indeed the Fajr is already. So he eats and drinks while in fact, the Fajr is already arose, or he thinks that the sun already is set, so he drinks, while in fact it did not set yet. In all of these conditions, he does not lose his fast. His fast is still valid. This is due to the following hadith, which is in Bukhari and Muslim. And it is through the narration of Adi bin Hatim. And this is an important hadith to remember in this respect. Adi bin Hatim, may Allah be pleased with him. In Sahih al-Bukhari, we'll take the narration Sahih al-Bukhari now. Volume 3, 140. In this hadith, when the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, 187 were revealed, and eat and drink until the white thread light of dawn appears to you distinct from the black thread. When these verses were revealed, until the white thread appears to you distinct from the black thread, I took two hair strings. I took two hair strings, one black and one and the other white, and kept them under my pillow, and went on looking at them throughout the night, but could not make anything out of it. So the next morning I went to Allah's Messenger and told him the whole story. He explained to me, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said to him, that verse, meaning in Surah Al-Baqarah, and eat and drink until the white thread, meaning the light of dawn, appears to you distinct from the black thread. That verse means the darkness of night and the whiteness of dawn. You understand now, you understand this story now, inshallah, it's clear to you. He thought that it refers to a black thread and white thread. So he kept them under his pillow in order to check when he's going to be able to see and distinguish between the white thread from the black thread. Take this verse. And eat and drink until the white thread appears to you distinct from the black thread. Okay? This is the verse as it is in Surah Al-Baqarah. Alright? So this companion, Adi bin Hatim, may Allah be pleased with him, What did he do? He said, I took two hairs. Let's have the hadith inshallah now. Okay. He said, I took two hairs. He took two hair strings, one black and the other white, and kept them under his pillow. He said, I kept them under my pillow, and went on looking at them throughout the night, but could not make anything of it. Because he wants to know, you know, when he wants to stop eating, what's the time? But he said, I couldn't make anything of it. Fine. So the next morning I went to Allah's Messenger and told him the whole story. He explained to me, he told him that verse meant or means the darkness of the night and the whiteness of the dawn. And now you know what it means, and eat and drink until the white thread, meaning light of dawn, appears to you distinct from the black thread, which is the darkness of the night, then complete your fast till the night fall. Is this clear now? So means when the light of dawn, the true dawn, is clear to you. La la la. When the true Fajr, because Fajr is, one is called false and one is true. The true Fajr, the light of dawn comes and continues. With the false one, it comes and then it is followed by darkness. It is the breaking of the day of the night. That's it. It's breaking now, coming. The day of light is coming in. It's going to take over, slowly but surely. So that marks the end of the dark of night. Otherwise, we will be still continue to eat. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in another wording in this hadith, the Prophet told him, إِنَّ وِسَادَكَ إِذًا لَعَرِيضٌ. You know, he said he put the threads under his pillow. You remember that when he said he put the threads under his pillow? You remember that in the hadith? So the Prophet ﷺ in one narration said, إِنَّ وِسَادَكَ إِذَا الْعَرِيضِ. Your pillow is really, you know, wide and vast. You can see really if you are in areas which are away from cities and city lights. You can see clearly the appearance of the true dawn. So in this case, Adi ate after Fajr broke and did not refrain until the two threads were distinguished to him. But the point is, from the hadith, did you hear the Prophet in the hadith say to him, go and make up your day? Did he tell him, go and make up your day? No. Because he was ignorant regarding the ruling. So this is the proof that the person must be knowledgeable concerning that. The other situation is the story with Asma bint Abi Bakr. Asma, the daughter of Abi Bakr, may Allah be pleased with her and her father. She said, أَفْطَرْنَا فِي عَهْدِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمَ غَيْمٍ ثُمَّ طَلَعَتِ الشَّمْسِ. She said, we broke out fast during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on a cloudy day, on a cloudy day. And then the sun appeared. And she didn't mention that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded them to make it up, because they were ignorant concerning the timing. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had ordered them to make it up, then this is a matter of great deal of importance to be transmitted to us. In fact, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that Hisham bin Urwa, one of the narrators of the hadith, related from his father that they were not commanded to make it up. It should be mentioned, however, if the person comes to know that the day is still a day and that the sun did not set, suppose on a cloudy day he thought that the sun set, and in effect it didn't, so the day is still a day, then in this case, if it becomes clear to him that the day did not end, then he should refrain until the sun sets. And if there is anything in his mouth, he should spit it out. Take for example, if he kept eating till after the dawn break, thinking that the dawn did not break, but afterwards it became clear to him that it did, then his fasting is correct and there is no make-up upon him, because he was ignorant regarding the timing. So this is the first condition now. Is the first condition, the person must be knowledgeable about the ruling that it invalidates. Is the first condition clear? With these examples and these evidences, is it inshallah? The second condition. That he should be remembering. Meaning the second condition is remembrance. So if he forgot, then his fasting is correct. And there is no makeup for him. And because of the hadith of Abi Huraira, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من نسي وهو صائم فأكل أو شرب فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وسقى. Whoever forgot, من نسي وهو صائم, or when one of you forgets and eats and drinks, فليتم صومه, then let him complete his fast. فَإِنَّمَا أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ وَسَقَاهُ. For what he has eaten or drunk, this has been given to him by Allah. And this is an agreed upon hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded that he should continue the fast. And this is evidence for its correctness. However, when he remembers, or someone else reminds him, then he should refrain. And remove what's in his mouth, if there is anything, because he has no excuse now. And anyone who sees a fasting person eating or drinking, let him remind him. The third condition, that it must be by choice. Taking these invalidators must be by choice. Such that if he is compelled, then his fasting is correct. And there is no makeup upon him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted the blame upon the one who commits kufr. If he is compelled on it while his heart is secure in faith. Allah said in Surah An-Nahl 16:106, من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليه غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم. Whoever disbelieved in Allah after his belief, except him who is forced thereto, and whose heart is at rest with faith, but such as open their breasts to disbelief, on them is wrath from Allah, and theirs will be a great torment. So by all means, this is applicable to a lesser situation, which is one being compelled to break his fast. And also the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned for my ummah its mistakes and forgetfulness and that which is compelled upon it, compelled for them to do. And this is related by Ibn Majah and Al-Bayhaqi and Al-Nawawi rahimahullah declared it as Hasan Hadith. So in this case, if a person compels his wife to have sexual intercourse while she is fasting, then her fasting is correct and there is no makeup on her, and he has no right to compel her while she is fasting. Of course, if she fasts without his permit while he is present, if she fasts a voluntary fast without his permit while he is present, then he can have the sexual intercourse with her. Also, if a person snuffs the something and it goes to his abdomen, like for example water, but without his choice, then his fasting is correct and there is no compelling and there is no makeup on him. In the case of a wife accepting to indulge in the sexual relationship during the day, then in this case, this is her choice, and therefore she is required to make up the day, and also she is required to fulfill the atonement like him, her husband. If, on the other hand, he makes sexual intercourse with her during a make-up day, for a day in Ramadan which she broke, now she's making a makeup. If he indulges in the sexual intercourse with her, then in this case, there is only upon him a makeup of that day, and there is no atonement, because this is not considered Ramadan. But he is sinful for doing that. And it's not required from her to obey him. And if he insists, then she makes up the day, and there is no sin on him, on her. A person does not break the fast by using eye drops or ear drops, even if he would feel the taste in his throat, because this is not eating, nor it is drinking, or of a similar meaning. Also, if the person puts the kuhl, which is a kind of eye treatment and also beautification for women, on the eyebrows, it's a dye. Even if he would, if the person would feel the taste of it in his throat. And also, a person does not break the fast by tasting the food as long as he does not swallow it. Similarly, snuffing the water through the nose, but without exaggeration. Because some of this may go into his abdomen if he exaggerates. Washing the mouth also with water does not break the fast, again, as long as it's not intentionally done so as to get it to the abdomen. Rather, even if the person uses that, and if something of it goes to the abdomen involuntarily, then there's nothing upon him. Using the siwak does not break the fast. Rather, it's a sunnah during the day, in the day or at the end of the day. And this is general, applicable to the people fasting or non-fasting, and in all times. It is permissible for the fasting person to take away the intensity of the heat or thirst by cooling off in water. And Imam Malik and Abu Dawud reported from some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ that they saw the Messenger ﷺ pouring water on his head while he was fasting because of thirst or because of heat. And Ibn Umar moistened some cloth or a garment with water and put it on himself while he was fasting. And Anas bin Malik, he had a stone engraved in a way such that it's like a pool, and he would dip himself therein at times of intense heat while he was fasting. Yes, it is permitted to also to brush the teeth with toothpaste, but be careful in terms of swallowing it. And in the siwak, there is the better alternative. Rather, it is the original thing. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled me to prepare for this talk. And I ask Allah the Most High to accept it from me and to make it of a benefit for myself and for all of you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.